You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This edition of It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, your partner for global wealth creation. Welcome to It's My Money. It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, South Africa's multi-award winning boutique wealth manager. With me today from Brenthurst Wealth is Mags Haystack. And Mags had an article published in The Citizen, I think it was. And I think he was quite proud of it being in The Citizen because they picked up on it. And it was such an important piece because it's, it still is actually, navigating the market tempest when Wall Street meets a perfect storm. Mags, I sense from your messages that you were proud of that article being published in that newspaper.
Well, yes, good afternoon, Lindsay. As always, thanks for having me. Pleasure. Yes, no, I am proud. Quite a bit of a, it's ironic in the sense of being proud because the message is quite dire. That's the irony in the situation. But I think as, you know, a normal average Joe who is just a financial advisor, when you write something and it gets picked up by The Citizen, I think that's definitely something to brag about a little bit.
I agree.
And I asked our, you know, I asked Elaine, she's in charge of our PR and a lot of our marketing, joint marketing at the company as well. And I said, how come The Citizen picked this up? And they said they usually take the most popular articles from MoneyWeb, quite interesting enough. So that's how this all came to be.
Oh, so it's a numbers game. Well, that's very good. Keep writing them, and and I'm sure you'll get another one on there. Right, you're talking about The Perfect Storm. Now, The Perfect Storm to me is the film with George Clooney and Mark Wahlberg, and they're sitting in the bar and waiting for a good time to go out fishing, and they go out fishing, and of course a storm hits. I never forget that bit at the end where that wave that's about three stories high catches the boat, and that's the end of that. That's the end of the whole thing. What made you think of it?
Well, it's quite amazing, you know, in today's day and age, you watch a movie when you're younger and you kind of overlook it. And I saw that it was available on Netflix and decided to watch it again. And, you know, I've always been a person who has an affinity for analogies. And I thought to myself, how can I compare The Perfect Storm to basically what's happening now with essentially the tariffs and the market calamity and everything else like that. And the idea first came to me after the recent market rout that we've seen when the original tariffs, back at the beginning of April, you know, finally came into place. And it's something I've discussed with a lot of my colleagues and other fund managers in the industry. But the bottom line is that, you know, investors were warned, very much like in the movie The Perfect Storm. The crew was warned. They're saying, look, there's a massive storm coming. It is best to, you know, turn back, head back to the harbor and just sit this one out. And there's obviously not 100%, you know, drawing parallels to the story, but there are some certain instances in the movie that kind of relate to what's happening in the market, and from an investing point in an overall, you know, scheme of things. And one of the biggest things that stood out for me is that, you know, the crew of the Andrea Gale, the ship that, and not to give away any spoilers, but yes, it was sunk at the end, but they were, you know, chasing profit in the face of danger. And that was one of the biggest things that you can really draw, you know, some kind of parallel towards what's happening in the market.
I think what we'll do right at the end is say that you are, you know, very elegantly concluding that the investors should, metaphorically speaking, go back to port until this storm ends. It might end in 2 weeks. Unlikely. It might end in 6 months. Probably three to 4 months, maybe. But the storm keeps getting worse, especially when Mr. Trump, in a petulant fit every day, says nasty things about US Federal Reserve Chairperson Jerome Powell. It doesn't make it any better. It doesn't make the conditions any better. Get back to port, go back to the bar, sit there and sit it out. But we'll talk about that at the end. You talk about warnings being clear. And the first one you say is aggressive monetary tightening. You've got to go back a bit for that. So explain what you mean by that and when that happened.
Yeah, so that originally actually took place at the beginning of 2022, and that's when we saw a massive amount of inflation that had hit most of the world as a result of COVID. You know, interest rates were close to zero in the developed market during COVID. That was a way for a lot of economies to bolster their economies. And with interest rates having been so low for so long, another, you know, quite a popular saying is that if Wall Street was a party, the Fed was the one providing the alcohol. And instead of taking away the alcohol at this party at, you know, 11 o'clock at night, they took it away at 4 in the morning when everyone was already drunk and it was too late. Mm. And that's akin to what happened with interest rates. Now, the interest rate shock that we saw in 2022 was to kind of rein in inflation to try and get it down. But what we saw as a result is that the original marginal increases in interest rates had no effect, and the Fed actually had to go quite aggressive in a very, very, very short time frame. You actually saw the most aggressive interest rate hikes since the 1970s in the United States. And to give you an idea, the U.S. Went from 0.25% to 5.5% in the span of about 12 or 13 months. Now, there's obviously a whole lot of information to dive into, which I just don't think we have time for it. Mm. But one of the markets that was affected the most was bonds. And secondly, the equity markets that also had quite a, you know, they were also quite affected quite heavily. We saw a protracted drawdown over the span of about 10 months, starting in January and ending in October of 2022. And that was one of the first risks. And, you know, for many years after that, one of the biggest issues is, you know, has the US gotten inflation under control? Has it been enough? Have, you know, interest rates gone, you know, high enough? And that's, you know, going actually a bit further into the Fed's monetary policy. And, you know, always a question of, are they doing enough? Are they not doing enough? And that's just an argument that's never going to be answered. The risk that we face now is, and as you mentioned, with, you know, Powell having a big target on his back with Trump, you know, Trump wants interest rates to come down, but inflation hasn't been brought down enough in the United States to warrant a further drop in interest rates. The problem that the United States will have is if interest rates again go down too quickly, you could have a position of hyperinflation in the United States where prices go up drastically. If you look at the current stock market, it's really a constant downward one-way street. And that's a real risk for the United States right now, is that the equity markets continue to go down, but inflation picks up again. And then you have a very, very strong potential for recession and or what's called stagflation. That's when your growth is negative and your inflation goes up at the same time in quite a drastic measure.
Yeah, that's the worst thing. That's the worst thing for investors. The stagflation is the worst thing ever. If you've got and it's also a nightmare for central banks worldwide. You've got to stimulate the economy, so therefore you've got to keep interest rates low. But if inflation is going up, you've got to keep interest rates relatively high to stem the rising tide of prices. So it's a horrible situation.
Yes, and that's just one of the, let's say, storm fronts that has been not even brewing. It has been taking place. And for those who haven't seen the movie The Perfect Storm, it was actually a three-storm system that converged into a single massive storm, and it was, I think, one of the largest storms ever recorded in modern times. And that will all make sense, you know, obviously if you watch the movie as well, but this is, you know, from the inflation point of view, that's one of the storms. You know, one of the other issues that you know, the crew of the Andrea Gale faced was, you know, is their boat safe enough? And obviously we'll touch on that in just a second. But the other two storms that we see brewing are debt warnings. You know, if you look at the United States and their level of debt, I heard a not a conspiracy theory necessarily, but one of the theories was that the United – or Trump specifically wanted to bring equity prices down to basically drop bond values, and because they're in a position where they have to refinance a lot of their debt this year. And what's quite scary is that what Trump has done with tariffs has actually done the inverse, where we saw over the past couple of weeks bond yields spiking. And whenever bond yields spike, or you know, the yields go up on a short time frame, that's really a very, very strong warning signal that, you know, there's a possibility of an impending default. It's not to say that it will happen right away, but when your yields go up so quickly, it does increase the risk quite extensively. And the theory is that because of that, that was one of the reasons why Trump actually pulled the U-turn on the tariffs. But the United States is still in a very, very difficult position with their debt. Their debt to GDP is about 125%, and it's just continuing to grow because they're in a very similar situation like South Africa. Not obviously, we're not in the same, you know, we're not in the same ball game at all in compared to the monetary value, but they have a lot of interest that needs to be repaid, and that's something that Trump supposedly was trying to take care of, but the inverse was what happened.
Yeah, a lot of the things you've done have actually backfired, although if people who still read The Art of the Deal, when in fact he's been proved to be a very poor deal maker, say, well, you've got to aim high. First of all, you say 50% tariffs, but you'll settle for 25%. It's just not relevant anymore. Everything he does is wrong, and I'm not politically bashing him. I'm economically telling the truth here. Sorry, Mags, I interrupted you then because I was thinking about the trillions and trillions that the US has to service. And if interest rates stay high, or even maybe tick up because of inflation ticking up because of tariffs, then the debt burden is going to be even more difficult to service.
Correct. And on top of that, you have less faith in the US bond market and investors pulling their money out of the US bond market. And that's a scary thought because the U.S. bond market or the, you know, U.S. Treasury have always been perceived as one of the safest assets that you can hold. You know, go back as far back as 2020 during COVID, when there was actually not enough liquidity in the market for investors to buy U.S. bonds. That's why the U.S. dollar index went, I think, to one of its all-time highs. And that's where we also saw the rand going, you know, close to 20 rand. A lot of emerging market currencies were sold off because when everything, you know, starts falling, the U.S. treasury is, or, you know, the U.S. bond has always been seen as the safest asset that you can purchase. And what we're seeing now are cracks in that perceived benefit of holding U.S. Treasury. So that's also one of the, you know, storms that's brewing. And then the third storm is the geopolitical risk. Now, I think since the time the article was written to now, there has been obviously a massive change in tariffs, but we still have China versus the United States. You know, they are going head to head. They, you know, neither side is you know, seemingly giving up or yielding. And that's also going to continue to cause issues. And I think, you know, don't quote me on this, but in my opinion, I think the US is going to potentially lose this because they have a lot more reliance on, in terms of their supply chain on China, as opposed to China on the United States.
Yeah.
If you look at the amount of products that the United States imports from China, it is heavily, heavily, heavily weighted onto one side of the scale versus what China imports from the United States.
Quite right, too. Yeah, and it's China is a factor here, and they could be playing games in the background. They're not exactly the cleanest players when it comes to world trade and geopolitics. But I think they can ride out a storm for a little bit longer than the United States can. But anyway, let's move on to now the storm hitting. You've got high interest rates squeezing corporate profits, you say, and increasing borrowing costs. We've covered that. Global uncertainty, investor confidence. You see, if everything's going well, let's say you're a factory and you need to expand. You'll say, right, everything's going well. Interest rates are on a downward trajectory. Prices are stable. Everyone likes each other at the moment, or most people do. So, yeah, okay, I'm going to borrow the money and I'm going to put up a new factory to increase our capacity. Not happening, Mags. Simply not happening. And that is that is all to do with confidence, whether at the retail level or at the corporate level.
Definitely. And we are seeing confidence quickly being eroded in all sectors. In the retail sector, we're seeing it in the, let's say, in industry, consumer sectors, financial sectors. And it's you know, in my opinion, the storm is here. And at the end of the day, it's possibly too late to make changes to portfolios, because we have already seen, you know, the S&P 500 has already, you know, dropped from a high of about 6,200 points, and it's currently sitting at about 5,100 points. So that's about 1,000 points drop, which equates to about 11 or 12%, a little bit more over, you know, from the peak, which was in Feb. Have we seen the, you know, is the storm now at its peak? Are we at the end of the storm? We don't know. But the lesson or message that essentially the article is trying to bring is that you can build a ship that can survive the storm. And it's something that I've seen more and more over time, you know, especially with firstly identifying what type of an investor you are. If you are investing in extremely high risk assets, you have to be prepared to take some damage. Investors who, you know, build portfolios that have less risk but are more diversified, not just from an asset point of view but from a geographical point of view, you know, they are going to weather the storm a lot better. And it's a conversation we constantly have with our clients, and I think it's something that all investors should you know, ask internally, is what level of risk are you willing to take? Are you willing to lose 30%? You know, you have to be willing to lose 30 if you want the opportunity to gain 30. And that's a very, very kind of easy message that I always use to you know, to gauge what type of investor and what type of risk they should be dealing with. You know, diversification, very, very important.
Liquidity. Oh, yeah, I've got to tell you a diversification story. I've heard your perfect storm analogy, which is excellent. You watch films on Netflix. I do as well, but I also watch series on television, the BBC in particular. And there's one called This Farming Life. And there's this, it takes a farm and a farming family, and it goes through their life and what goes on with the seasons and all that business. And it's a sheep farm they've got in Scotland. And it's tough. I mean, we think we've got tough jobs, or yours is much tougher than mine. But these people, these are hardy folk, Mags. And so they didn't do very well. They had a couple of bad seasons because of weather and all sorts of other things, and their yields for sheep weren't good enough, prices weren't high enough at auction, all that sort of thing. And so they diversified, and they built these little pods, these tourist pods, ready made, and installed them and everything, so that people come to this beautiful part of the world, look at the river, go walking in the hills and in the highlands, etc. And they diversified, and it saved the farm. You save the farm all the time with your diversification, don't you?
Definitely. And again, it comes down to risk. I know I'm sounding like a broken record now, but whenever we deal with any investor for the first time, that's one of the key components of how portfolios are structured. How do you want to build your boat? You know, if you want to go really, really fast and get to your destination much quicker, then you have to, again, I'm throwing in quite a few analogies here, but that's the type of thing that you can look at. But there's a higher chance that you know, the ship can sink. If you take a little bit more of a defensive position and your boat's a bit more sturdy but not as fast, then it's going to be able to handle it a bit better. But at the end of the day, it's really all about having a long-term vision. If you look at the movie, once again, The Perfect Storm, they were chasing a quick last, you know, a last-minute catch, you know, trying to make very, very quick gains in a very, very short time frame. And they ultimately, you know, paid for it with their lives. But having that long-term vision is also going to be a key component in being able to weather the storms. You know, if you look at the corrections in the S&P 500 over the last 10 years, in most cases, the markets had rebounded within a year's time frame. Is it going to be different, or is it going to be the same? Nobody knows. That's the bottom line for investing. We don't know what the future holds, but it all depends on how well you are able to diversify your portfolios and ultimately weather the storm.
Okay, we won't go into liquidity. If you have got an illiquid asset and markets start to seize up or go into free fall, it's very, very difficult to sell an illiquid asset because people are focusing on the liquid ones. Risk management, you say. You've got to assume, this is the interesting point under risk management. You say, assume storms will come. And after 5 years, there hasn't been a storm, so you get a little bit reckless. You shouldn't do that, Mags, in my opinion.
And yes, you should. You know, if you look at how most portfolios these days are built, there is always going to be a blend of equity. There's going to be a blend of cash and other interest-bearing instruments. And more importantly, from a diversification point of view, as I've mentioned, from a geographical point of view, what we're seeing today is there's actually quite a bit of money moving out of the US. You know, one of the biggest issues that investors have with Trump and what he's announced with his tariffs is that he didn't actually say, we are canceling these tariffs. He just said we are going to pause them for 90 days. So what you have now in the market is an abundance of uncertainty. And that uncertainty is, in my opinion, what is causing the markets to kind of stall. They have stalled, in my opinion. Will they keep going lower? We don't know. But I do feel that the majority of, let's say, of the downside has already taken place, but there is now a very strong potential for the, you know, the secondary and tertiary outcomes to take place. Once we start seeing supply chains choking up in the United States, we could possibly start seeing a lot of retrenchments as well, just like we saw in COVID, where the logistical system globally was impacted. It's going to be a little bit more centralized for US markets. I have to give Trump credit. He wanted to, you know, bring manufacturing back to the United States, but this is not the right way of doing it, in my opinion. So what we are seeing is, on a global level, people are looking for alternatives. Europe is quickly becoming a very, very preferential alternative, as well as Asia. And you know, how far that's going to go, how far the, you know, movement of capital away from the US market's going to take place, we don't know. Maybe there is a potential turnaround in future in the US economy and the US market. But as it stands right now, we just don't know.
And you conclude by saying the following. As we sit in the middle of today's market squall, one thing is clear. We can't control the storm, but we can build boats that can survive. A well-constructed portfolio is your vessel. And in times like these, it's the difference between being swamped by panic or staying afloat until calmer waters return. That was a lengthy and very interesting insight that you've given on what's going on. And I think we may be having another one in a few weeks' time, because I don't see this one going away. Mags, so much for your time, as always. Mags Haystack is from Brenthurst Wealth, and that was It's My Money. It's My Money was brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, an award-winning boutique wealth management company.